You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, honoring your presence, honoring your person, honoring your grace, thank you very much. Help us. Your word, we want to have understanding that we have the benefit of understanding and all that honors you because of our understanding. And our God will thank you in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to the end of the upper room before Christ goes out to the garden and to be crucified, and we're sharing together the great purpose in verse 18, as the Father sent me, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And then the sevenfold purpose, starting in verse 21, there were that seven purposes all pointing in the same direction. So, what is the grand purpose of being sent? In order that the world, in verse 21 of that, in order that the world will know that Jesus Christ is the sent one from God. He is the Savior. He's the promised one. Genesis 3:15, he's the seed of the woman. He's the one, the only Savior, the only God. He's the one. And that's what it's for. So this wonderful relationship that the believer is to have in order to represent our Lord is to enjoy a unique oneness in a most wonderful way. And that oneness is going to go and show itself. That's glory. Glory is the giving of an appearance. Here's the reality. There's the sun's reality, the sun. There's the rays coming out, the glory of the sun shines. That's what it does. It shines. So God, to show the glory of God in a marvelous way, to show God's wonderful saving grace in a human heart, to show that grace. And to so the relationship is there, the relationship as it's exercised and enjoyed, evidences, glories, glory shows its relationship to an awesome God in his saving grace. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, it involves his God's wonderful glory. And remember, we read that in verse 22. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them purpose that they may be one even as we are one. So we need to have that kind of relationship to God that only God can provide, and only God can provide it. So therefore, there's no other way to find it, to have it, or enjoy it. God has to do it. God has to make it all happen in a wonderful way. And so that glory of God in a wonderful way, is to evidence what? In verse 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect, complete, finished. It's the outworking of the relationship, perfect, complete, finished. The outworking of the relationship of oneness, the relationship that already is the moment you get saved. That the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So it's a glorious, wonderful relationship to God that shows God glory, and shows the relationship to God that the believer has of love. God loves the believer. That's what he loves. Now, and keep in mind when you look at love, the word love as you're looking at it here and that is not found in the pagan world. It's a biblical word. It doesn't fit in the world. There's no language, there's no people that know such things as this kind of love. This kind of love that involves what? God. Say it easy. God is love. God is love. Well, what is God? Is God. That's right. And if I may, God help me. Just think of God's wonderful person. In his triunity, his threeness in one, and oneness in three. His triunity in unity. Wonderful. God's essence, nature, being. God the Father loves God the Son. God the Son loves God the Holy Spirit. They all love each other. Three in one nature, loving. I know it's hard. It's a whole other world. It's out of our realm. But I tackled it to try to help you. I have to understand. Love. God, loving, is loving himself, as it were. He is God. Who else is there greater than, more than, other than God? No one. There's nothing more than God. So God, if God's going to be God, he's an awesome God. And we know from all the different things we've done in God's word, his omnipresence and everything, his glorious person, omnipotent and all of that. God is and you have no dimensions. Everything in the middle of all of forever is in the middle of you. Nothing is outside of you. God, you are glorious. God loves being God. God loves being who he is. That's what he does. It's an awesome thing. This unique relationship. Wow. That is what God has made possible for the human heart, to be brought into that loving relationship between the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, to be brought into that wonderful oneness, to enjoy, to be exercised. Do you understand? It's going to blow you. All you can do is hear it. It's an awesome thing. And it's way up here and out of reach. It's out of reach. But it's real. Because it takes God's holy heaven and God's saving grace to help us understand that God loves us. Loves us, what? He loves us like that. As my Father, remember as we read, as my Father is loving me, I want them to know, as my Father is loving me in God's holy person, he's loving you. There is no other human love. All other love, all other Philadelphia love and all the rest of it. All the love, all the words we use, all the phrases we use fall flat on the ground in the light of that. God is love. Now, having said that, that you need to understand, that is glorious. Obviously, that relationship is out of this world. That's all. I can't talk to anybody about it. I couldn't explain it to anybody. I can only enjoy it. That's all I can do. All I can enjoy is being loved. And when God is loving, he's looking for what? What's love do? Love, will, the volition to want the highest and best. What is the highest and best? God is the highest and best. To want the very best there is, only God can give that and do that in a most wonderful way. Wow. So God, that's what you're looking for. That's what we're to have. So therefore, exercise us in the light of your word, to get this relationship a little bit more in focus. That's why you have to spend time in it. I could just say that, and if I could ever say it, in 2 minutes and be done. But you'll never, never understand it. And after all that we try to do, you still won't understand it. All you can do is enjoy it. But I'll have a better understanding of why I enjoy it. I'm not sitting there stupidly, God loves me, you know. No, sir, I know why God loves me. God loves me in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why he loves. And as he's loving, his Son, and the Spirit of God are loving each other. That's how he's loving you. That's how he's loving me. God, thank you. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, just keeping in mind the relationship each time between love and glory. Glory, the manifest impression made by God, God's impression of the reality, and love. The glory, the love, and the expression of love, relationship, glory. Glory. Now, Ephesians chapter 1, picking up, please, if I can, in verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And the word, remember, we shared it a thousand times. The word accepted means highly favored. It's only used one other time. You could probably finish the sentence. Only used one other time of the Virgin Mary. She's highly favored. Woman, of all women, she was number one. She was highly favored to bear and to produce the human body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Highly favored. It's used of the church, which is his body. His body, highly favored. His physical body, his spiritual body, as it were, highly favored. Special. Now, having said that, verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So our whole reason is the Father sent me, so send I you. Verse 18, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, purpose, that you may know what? The hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Where is that glory found? In the saints, in your heart. In the heart of the believer. There's nothing, it's just dust, or vessels of dust and clay. But God has put himself in it. And all of a sudden, the vessel of, like the tissue. Here's my little tissue, good old tissue. Here's my little tissue. It's just a tissue. But if I wrap a giant diamond in it and wrap it up, boy, that tissue is something else, isn't it? What became tissue? What makes the tissue so valuable? Its content. The diamond. What makes you so valuable? It's you who is in you when you receive Christ as your Savior. He is. He's glorious. He's glorious. That's what I mean. The glory, where did the glory come from in me and you if you're saved? From Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 18. The end of the verse again, that the riches of the glory, riches. Of the glory, not just glory, riches of the glory. It's a marvelous thing. Hang on to that, because you're going to need it when we get to heaven here pretty quick. One way or the other, to get to heaven. Now, the glory. Sliding over, if I can, chapter 3. And in chapter 3, may I go to verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his, well, there it is again, the riches of his glory. We just mentioned it in verse 18. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that we may be able to strengthen by his, because we're Christ in us, is the glory of God and is the love of God. Therefore, the Spirit of God is going to honor the what? God loves us. Spirit of God loves us. The Spirit of God's Son loves us. Father loves us. God loves us. So therefore, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in, what, dear friends? Love. We're locked into the relationship. God's awesome relationship. God is love. Verse 18, may be able to comprehend, understand, to perceive, to intelligence, etc. That may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Wow. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. So are we going to understand the love? Never, 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 never. How could we? How could we possibly understand the unique love God has, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, in this unique oneness? How can I understand that? That's God. But God gives us to us, allows us to participate by way of his Son, when you receive him as your Savior, to participate in that relationship. And in verse, like you read in verse 18, comprehend with all saints the length, breadth and length and depth and height. You're in the middle of it. When aren't you in the middle of the love of God? God, on my presence, you're in the middle. Unsaved, a lot of things, but boy, when the believer understands being in the middle of God and knowing God as your Savior, boy, that makes being in the middle of God pretty important. Why? Because I'm smack dab in the middle of what? The love of God. God's wonderful love, what, for creating me, for dying on the cross for me. That's an awesome, awesome thing. Awesome. Wow. Thus, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. To be able to what? To enjoy God, not in a stingy, funny little way, to be able to enjoy God's magnificent person straightway. Moses had the awesome privilege of being unique in the sense that he was allowed to know God face to face. Face to face. Moses did. That doesn't mean he saw God. He just knew God face to face. Wow. Now, so therefore, in all of its, and to understand it again, it's beyond us. And it should be. It should be. It's like we said the other day in Jeremiah in a study Wednesday, measuring the stars. You can't measure the stars. You can't do anything. They're all beyond us. God made it so you never measure the stars. No matter how many, if we go to Mars and go to 10 other Marses and Pluto's and make everything else beyond, and put another camera up there, 21 and a half feet long lens. Put another lens, make it 40 feet long. 40 feet long, a lens. Golden lens to catch the light, to see the stars. And do it. And you know what? To count the stars. Now, the only ones that can do it are people in Washington that know how to do trillions. Well, they know how to do trillions very easy. And they're closer than I am. We don't talk about billions anymore. We talk about trillions. Billions is nothing, lunch money, you know, what can I tell you? Wow, we can't measure them. So when you talk about stars unmeasurable, uncountable, God's concern for the believer is more than, his thoughts are more to the believing believer, more than they are as the sand of the sea. You can't count the sand. I couldn't count the stars. It's beyond my mind. There's no number. Zillion, quintrillion, 18 zeros. Quintrillion, where do you want to go? What kind of words will we use? What kind of language can I exercise to understand? I can't. There is none. It's beyond your understanding. It's to be enjoyed, but not understood. You and I live at the bottom of the ocean of the air. We're on the bay, we're at the floor of the air. And all the stratosphere and our atmosphere and all the ionosphere, up we go, up we go. We're at the bottom. Do you want? Can you comprehend this ocean of air that is around you like this? And we're at the bottom of the floor of the ocean. Can even conceive that? Can you tackle that? Stratosphere, ionosphere? No, no, no. You're dealing with God, and rightly so. You have to understand that and just yield your little mind, your little mind and your little heart to God and enjoy the trip. That's all I can tell you. All I can tell you. As my Father sent me, so send I you, that the world might. Well, the world said, no, I don't want to know that stuff. No, they don't. But the heart does. Why? Because the heart is letting God love it. And as 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. So God loving us, it overflows and we love him back. We want everything God wants for us. Hang on to that now. And in the light of that, and in verse 20, I might as well read that, very much so, fullness. Now unto him that is able to do according to the abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the dynamite, dynamo, dynamic, all of that wonderful, wonderful energy. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. More than we can think, more than we can ask, no sense in trying. It's too big, too much, too wonderful. Therefore, according to the power that worketh in us, God's doing a wonderful, wonderful thing beyond our understanding. God's doing it for his own glory and honor. God loves to do it. That God wants to glorify himself in the believing heart, to have the believer know a unique oneness with himself. A unique oneness. The oneness. Not a oneness, man and wife are one. No, no, no. That's just a little picture. No, Ephesians 5, no, it says, nope. It's the oneness. The mystery is the oneness that God makes possible for a human being to have a unique relationship to God. That's a unique oneness. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so here's this relationship that God has done in a most wonderful way to show and share, make known his wonderful, wonderful person. And God's going to glorify himself and honor himself. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, God is going to go, remember, as the Word became flesh, John 1:14, and dwelt among us, and the glory of the Father, the glory of the Son, is full, glory full of grace and truth. God is, when God became a babe in the Bethlehem of Judea, he became and came and sent himself at the incarnation in Christ in order for God to go to the cross. He couldn't go to the cross unless he has a human body. He can't pay the price unless he's a human just like this, like us, only without sin. And he goes to the cross and dies and makes possible a unique, wonderful relationship to God. So we're able to go and walk with God and look to God and trust God in a most wonderful way. And God's going to glorify himself. Over to Romans. And we have to be exercised to do it. And so therefore, as you know, I'm just reminding you, and these things will stay in your head. When, as you keep doing them over and over, they'll just be part of your life. The part like when you went to school, whatever you trained for, and you understood, you understand whatever you do. Well, you're going to be a believer, and all of this is going to be in your head. You just live with it. This is what's happened. How you think. It's how you think. Why you think. Why you go. Therefore, Romans chapter 5. And I'm looking again. And you'll notice in chapter 5, if I can, picking up please, if I can, in verse 2. Chapter 5, Romans, verse 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice. What are we so excited about? In hope of the glory of God. Well, God, that's an awesome thing, right? God's wonderful, wonderful glory. Therefore, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, bearing up under the load. And patience, bearing up under the load, produces experience, so you proved it in your experience. And your experience causes you to have hope, expectancy, anticipation. And anticipation and hope about every next moment, the next part, the next day, the next week. Verse 5, and hope, anticipation, makes not ashamed. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Wow. Because the love of God is given to us. Why? Because in all of this, working it out in the physical body, in the light of your family history, in the light of physically, mentally, spiritually, socially, every kind of way, just being alive on planet Earth, wherever you are, being alive. God's wonderful, wonderful outworking to help you as you learn to grow and know. And God uses your experiences. God uses the trials. God uses the trouble. You're in a troubled world that's in trouble, making trouble. Therefore, here we are looking to God. And in the light of it, and God's going to go and gives us full of expectancy. Why? Because God loves us. God loves us. God loves us. That's what he does. He loves us. And we go forward, moving, trusting God in a most, most wonderful, wonderful way. Over, if I can. While you're here, I'm going to come right back here. So hold to this area and go over to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. And may I remind us, in chapter 5, picking up, please, in verse 14. 5 and 14. For the love of Christ constrains us. It's constraining us. The word constrained means to have something and hold it. To have it and hold it tight. Have and hold. To have and hold. Constrain. For the love of Christ constrains. Present tense. It's holding us and having us, holding us and having us and holding us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all on behalf of, for all on behalf of all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him that died for them and rose again. A wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. And God is trying to get us to get caught up in his love. To get caught up, and God loves us. So no matter what, no matter how, God's loving us. Making us, verse 17, new creatures. Therefore, if any man, woman, man or girl, boy or girl, be in Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. A wonderful, wonderful relationship. Wow, God's doing that. Now, back over to Romans, in the light of being constrained. And we're going to be mindful of the fact that this love for God is awesome. And this love for God locks us in. You'd have to ask yourself now, when does God not love you? When does God not love you? Even if you weren't saved, God Christ died. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth should not perish but have everlasting. Gone. But you aren't even saved. But God's loving you. Now, when doesn't God love you? When God sentences them to the lake of fire. Why the lake of fire? That's the only place hell can, that's the only place, love doesn't know what to do with people that are unsaved. They don't enjoy heaven, wouldn't enjoy God, wouldn't enjoy the glory, aren't even interested. There's only one place, but they're evil. Hell. Hell. Love has to put them in hell. You're rejected. When doesn't God love you? He loves you. Heaven or hell. Well, that's where you're going, one way or the other. Now, so therefore, in God's wonderful, wonderful grace, God's loving us. And therefore, it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. I'm either letting God love me or I'm not. And it's very, and we, that's part of the problem with us humans. We really don't want God. Well, A, we don't even understand, so it's no sense in talking about it. Love goes, I want you to, I love you. I want you to be like exactly like I think you should be. So I'm going to love you, and you're going to be just like I want you to be, because that's what my love's going to do. So if you let me love you, I'm going to change you to be like me, like I want. See, that's using it. But, so we don't do that too much. We don't really let people love us. Even mom and dads and husbands and wives and brothers and sisters. We don't really do too much, because it will change our life. We don't do it. We don't want to be changed like that. We don't want to have to be fit in like that. So God, what do you do in your wonderful way? You're going to go and love us, and we want to fit in. We want to be part of it. And therefore, God is loving us, always loving us. And therefore, when you come to Romans chapter 8, in light of God loving for his glory and honor, and picking up, please, if I can, in chapter 8, and going, and we'll do it, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love, that are loving God. Remember, we're loving God. God loves us, and we want God's will for our life. Therefore, we love God. We want God's will for our life. Or to say it another way, I'm letting God love me. I want to love God. I want what God wants for my life. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And to them who are called according to his purpose. To what? To be sent to glorify God in these bodies, to be loved and glorify God, to have such a relationship that the glory, our relationship to God is glorious. It's a glorious relationship. Now, so having said that, sliding along, as you know, in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to mark out ahead of time, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Purpose that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, mark out ahead of time, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also did what? He glorified them. That's what he's going to do. I give you my glory. How are you going to get saved and not have the glory of God? I'm saved, but I don't have the glory of God. Wrong. You can't be saved and not have the glory of God. The glory of God is located where? In the person of Jesus Christ. You'd have to have Christ disappear. You have the glory of God. Just what are you doing with the glory of God? Therefore, a glorified. Verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? What are you going to say? Just think of all we've been mumbling. What are you going to say? What are you going to say about it? If God be for us, who can what? Who can be against you? What are you going to say? We'll say, boy, what's that guy talking about? Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and love. I don't understand. I don't understand. Well, that's all right. What are you going to say? That happens to be true. So people can say whatever they want. But if God be for us, who can be against us? What are you going to say? Well, not only just what are you going to say, watch. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God, there's no end to what you're going to do for us. Who? You've got a what in verse 31, verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who's going to say you can't be saved? Who's going to say you aren't saved? If you receive Christ as your Savior, it has nothing to do with you or me. I received him as my Savior. He's the Savior. He justifies. He does. He does it all by himself. I didn't do it. You didn't justify yourself. I don't justify myself. He justified us. That's what he did. What are you going to say? Who's going to say, well, what right have you got to be saved? I have no right to be saved except Christ died for me and you, and you need to be saved the same as I do. What right have I got? Because Christ did it. Christ died for me. That's what he did. I didn't say he did. I didn't make him do it. He did it. He did it. That's why I could be a human being on planet Earth, because Christ died for me before the foundation of the world. Therefore, verse 34, who, 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who's going to do anything? All this is, it can't be. It is. Therefore, that's why it said in John 17 to that, you, God, have given you the glory that you might be perfect in oneness. Perfect's in the perfect tense. With the perfect oneness takes place the moment you get saved. That's the only way you can get saved, is Christ makes you. He died on the cross and rose again to make it so that you could be wonderfully, wonderfully, 1,000% saved the moment you believe. And the moment you believe, God saves you in a wonderful way. And then you have to outwork that relationship, which is what we're looking at and trying to understand. Therefore, what about all these things? Who shall lay anything in charge of God's elect? Verse 34, who is he that condemneth? So when it's all done, when all the conversation is done between people, theologically and religiously and philosophically and whatever you want to go, whenever you do everything, you're all done. When you're all done with everybody talking and thinking and mumbling, and then there's God. God said, this is what I did. Nobody going to do. Who shall lay anything to charge God's light? What are you going to do? When we're all done, writing books and everything, when you're all done, it is God that justifies. No? I don't know. So when it's done, where's my security? Where's my assurance? Where am I supposed to? I'm supposed to be resting in what? God and his word. He's giving it. Look, what? Keep going. In verse 35, who, there's another who again. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? Tell me, name what? Give me something that you can separate. God did it. God loves you before you were even created. Christ died for you because he loves you. Christ is going to love you in heaven or hell. Take your pick. So we can't get away from it. I got to get into it in the right way to enjoy it. Otherwise, I can't escape it. It's impossible. Wow. Now, verse 35. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ, as we read? As in verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Wow. God, you're going to send us as lions? No, I'm going to send you as sheep. Sheep in the midst of people that are hunting them. They like sheep. I'm going to kill them. They don't want sheep. Therefore, God, you're going to send us like that. Uh-huh. That's how I came. I came and went to the cross. I died. I rose again. I came in order that I'm going to send you. I want you to go and walk among them. You don't have to clobber them. You don't have to hit them. You don't have to fear them. What you do is be a little light in the darkness. And honor me. And I'm going to put the sheep smack dab in the middle of the wolves. I'm going to put the sheep in the middle of the wolves. And I'm going to keep them. So what happens, watch it, a different illustration. Here's the wolves. Here's the wolves. He's therefore, God, what do I need? Send me forth as a grizzly bear. What do you think of that? The average wolf wouldn't go for a grizzly bear, a big one, a big polar bear even. Wow. So here comes the grizzly bear. And the wolves still back up. No, God sends the believer as this little sheep, a little sheep, and you just can play with it, you can hit it, you can do everything. And God said, that's all right. That's all right. Don't even let it bother you. If I'm for you, who can be against you? Who's going to condemn you? Who's going to say anything against you? You're saved. I want you to be saved and show you're saved. And by the way, if you ever get, think of Hebrews chapter 12, before you get too feeling overwhelmed and say, boy, I'm getting it, things are against me. Hebrews chapter 12, make sure you don't speak too quickly. Until you have endured what I did on Calvary's cross, be quiet. You have no idea what it is to be persecuted, what it is to be treated wrong, to be misunderstood, to be hated. You have no idea. So quiet. Trust me. Trust me. Keep reading. Therefore, verse 36, again, we are killed for thy sake. We are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And that's the way. But, verse 37, as you know, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Conquerors can only conquer. You're more than a conqueror. Remember what it says in Proverbs when you come to the the person who's able to control his insides is stronger and a more than a conqueror compared to the person who conquers the city. The person who conquered his heart is stronger than the person who conquers the world. That's where it is. Now, so therefore, we're more than conquerors. Verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that, and this time it's God loving us. God's loving us. But we just read in Romans 5, there's nothing separates us. Nothing. All the things in life can only what? Make the understanding of God stronger. The more I understand them, the older we get, the more we go through things and learn. We learn what? We learn God is just real. It is real. And all of a sudden, you roll up your sleeves and you say, you try to get the world to say, get excited about that. They aren't excited, but you is. Why? Because you're getting through it. It's happening to you. And you are the beneficiary. You're demonstrating God's awesomeness. And you don't even know it. You don't even know it. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's nothing. And someday when you have nothing to do, some night if you want to go to sleep, just think of each of those words and try to figure out if God said, I am persuaded that neither death. Now, death can't do a thing. So you figure that out. If I die, if people die, that can't separate me from the love of God. And death, and life, and angels, look at the words. Nothing can separate you. Things present, nor things to come, can't separate you. I don't know. I think that's pretty secure myself, dear friends. I think that's a pretty certain thing. I'd sit back and say, wow, you say you're going to sink in the sand. Let me sink. I'll tell you what, though. If God doesn't stop loving, and God is going to keep that which he loved. That's us human beings who he saved by his grace in a most, most, most wonderful, wonderful way. And God's going to do it in the light of his will. Over in closing, I got to quit. Over to, boy, we didn't get far. I didn't mean to get tied up. I hope you got a little bit, though. You know all these things anyway, can I tell you? John 17. And may I pick up, please, in verse 24. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. Purpose, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. That's awesome. Anyway, our time is gone. But would you just note a head start in verse 24? Father, I will. Christ is willing something. The Savior, is God. God the Father wills. God the Spirit wills. Christ is willing. He's talking to the Father. I will, Father. I determine, my volition, I will. Adding, John 6, I will lose nothing that thou hast given me. I will lose nothing, no one that thou hast given me. I will it. It's an awesome thing. We're going to look at it. I will. Wow, I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit.